be saved but by your wonderful name. And so, Lord, we ask that you would prepare people for your coming and bless us this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Title of our message for this afternoon, Extraordinary Action of Firm Faith. Extraordinary Action of Firm Faith. Now, we have been talking for the past few weeks about faith. We shared with you about the father of the faithful, Abraham, and how he was willing to kill his own son in a test of faith, trusting God. We've been sharing that with you. Last week we talked about it was impossible to please God unless we have faith. Today we're going to talk about a journey of faith that is almost equal to the story of Abraham's test of faith. Almost, not quite, but close. But I'd like to ask you before I begin, if you had to share with someone a person of faith that you believe from the Bible, who would you say would be a person of faith? Anybody? Joseph, one of my favorite characters. Anyone else? Daniel. Thank you. Got there real quick. We didn't get that quick in the first service. Daniel. Anyone? Paul. Job. Moses. Esther. Enoch. That one didn't come up in the first service. Enoch. Now, hold it. I had to stop right there. Ruth. I heard Ruth. But someone said one that I wanted to share that is very important. Mary. And Mary and Joseph. We tend not to think of them as great people of faith, but they were. In fact, if we carried this on, we could probably carry it infinitum. Am I right? Because people in the Bible, heroes of the Bible, are people of faith. Now, I'd like to tell you about one today that you may not have thought of. And I would ask you to do one thing for me. Would you please, when I tell you who it is, not turn me off? Would you do that? Because you have heard the story 100 times or more. And if you don't stay with me, when I tell you who it is, you're going to turn me off and say, I don't want to hear it. So I ask you to stay with me. If you're going to stay with me, say amen. Amen. All right, I know you'll be with me. Okay, turn, if you would, to the book of Luke. What book did I say, everybody? Luke. The book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. The book of Luke, the 23rd chapter. And while you're turning there to the book of Luke, the 23rd chapter, and starting at verse 39, I'm going to read that for you. Luke 23, I hear the pages turning. Luke 23, and starting at verse 39. I'm talking about an extraordinary action of firm faith. Here is a person that we often forget. So come with me to the cross of Jesus 2,000 years ago. A story that's found in the Gospels, and I'll start reading at verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." In verse 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing." And then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, the book of Matthew and the book of Mark talks about, and everybody knows about, the thieves on the cross. Everybody knows the story. And when you read Matthew and Mark's account, it says that they both railed against Jesus, said something negative against Jesus, both of the thieves. But the word that it uses in Matthew and Mark's gospel means reproach. But Luke gives us a picture that we don't see in the other gospels. For Luke says that the other thief starts language that's not just a reproach, but the language is an injurious language, an insulting language. So it's different. And for some reason, at that point, when he starts insulting Jesus and using injurious language, this other thief speaks up. And this is where we'll go. I'm talking about extraordinary action of firm faith. He had a change of heart. While being tortured, while being slowly killed with the worst kind of death ever thought of, the crucifixion, he has a change of heart. And I would say, of all of the people in the scriptures, other than Abraham, he shows some of the most extraordinary acts of faith you'll ever see. For he, when he's about to die, confesses that he is a sinner and deserves to die. Did you see that in the passage? He confesses that he's a sinner and he deserves to die. Extraordinary action of firm faith. Number two, he recognized that Jesus did no wrong. Now we know, are you with me? I want you to stay with me now, because I know when I talk to the thief of the cross, some of you are going to turn right off because you've heard it. He recognized that Jesus did not sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 tells us about that, that Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us. Not only did he recognize that he was a sinner and that Jesus did no wrong, look at the verse here, I want to read it for you. Verse 42, then he said to Jesus, what's the word, everybody? I'm going to have to bring my Bible down here. Y'all sleep. I'm going to have to come out there and walk out there and ask some questions because y'all sleep. Then he said to Jesus, what?
Lord.
What?
Lord.
Lord, remember me when you come into my kingdom. Thank you. I knew that would get you awake. He's a sinner. He recognized that Jesus was sinless, did no wrong. And he recognized that Jesus had a kingdom. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Profound. How was he able to do that? On the cross, dying. You know, I'm intrigued by the fact all the disciples, just about John was there with Jesus' mother. Well, everyone else was gone. Few ladies around the cross. And the only person that gives Jesus his just due is a thief on the cross. Aren't you intrigued by that? And it's kind of sobering. Where is the church? Kind of sobering. He confesses that he's a sinner. Jesus did no wrong. And he called Jesus Lord. The sunshine of faith was a thief. And he told Jesus to remember him. Remember what about him? He wasn't at church last week. He was in jail. Remember him. All the things he did wrong, he was not on the other side of Jesus on the cross for nothing. Remember him. And what did Jesus say? In verse 43, and Jesus said to him, I say to you, today you're going to be with me in paradise.
Pastor, I stand to correct you right there. Because the comma doesn't go after thee, the comma is after today.
In fact, I knew that. In fact, Dan and I talked about that in the office. Thank you. And I hope you all know that already. But let me share with you where I'm going. Thank you, Stella. But let me share with you where I'm going. Because I'm going to show you something different. Most Adventists always deal with that comma issue. That's good. But I'm going to show you something. I want you to stay with me. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Thanks, Della. That probably woke them up. This thief recognized that Jesus was coming again. Did you see that? He recognized that Jesus was coming again. Now, he didn't have all the nuances that we have. But he recognized that he had a kingdom and that he was going to come back and get him. Amazing, extraordinary act of firm faith. Wouldn't you agree? Where was everyone else? Can I tell you something? I don't like this story. You know why I don't like it? And many Christians, unfortunately, do not like this story. Because it seems unfair. You done spent 40 years coming to church, being faithful in your tithe, doing all the things you know to do. And here comes this guy that's been doing anything he's big enough to do. Gets up on the cross. And a couple of few words. And Jesus says, come on in. You know you don't like that. You know you're not sure about that. That's not fair. You know we think like that. Instead of God is good. You see, maybe this is, you know, we deal with this passage as if it deals with just a deathbed conversion. Maybe it's not dealing with that as much as we make it to be. Maybe it's dealing with the fact that God is good. That his grace is able to reach anybody at any time. Maybe that's what it's talking about. Maybe it's talking about the fact that any time is a good time to repent. And when you repent and it's real, it doesn't matter if you've only been in the church one day. See, it's not about length of time and the stuff you do. And I know that's hard for us, because we've been checking the ledger. And this guy comes up at the last minute and gets in. But it's about how good God is. And God is trying to reach us whenever He can reach us. And it goes right along with John 12 and verse 32. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Do you know that Jesus won a soul on the cross? Did you get that? Nice to see you, ladies. Welcome. You snuck in on me, huh? Good to have you here. Good. God is good. Again, like I said, it's kind of sobering. Thief on the cross can just get in. But his repentance was real. And if it's real, it's effectual. It does what it needs to do. God will go anywhere, to any length, to save you. You know what? This is kind of an indictment also. Because sometimes we come to church week after week after week after week and never give our heart to Jesus. I don't see how you do it. Thief on the cross had a few moments of talking to Jesus. Just a few moments. He says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. The Lord says, I will. Just like that. How is it possible? It's an indictment upon the church that we come week after week after week. Well, I was sharing in the first service where there was a lady that was coming to church for 20 years who had never given her heart to the Lord. She came to the Seventh-day Adventist Church for 20 years, never committed herself to the Lord. I'm proud to say that the Lord did touch her heart while I passed through there. Amen? How do you do that? How do you hear the voice, unmistakable voice of God, year after year after year, and not give your heart to Him? And the thief on the cross in a few minutes said, yes, Lord. I'm not sure how that's done, but I'm glad that God does it. I'm going to close with a story. I may have shared this before, but I'll share it again. I was working. A husband and wife came in to see me, and they wanted me to see their son, who was dying. He was 34 years old, and he was at the last days of his life. So they asked me to come and see him. Now, I'll tell you, I knew exactly what they wanted. They wanted me to get a deathbed confession, conversion out of their son. I knew that's what they wanted. And you know something? That was all right. I ministered to him. I don't know if he ever made that deathbed confession. I don't know, to be very honest. I did his funeral. And to be very candid, I didn't share this in the first service, but I think I need to share this. You know what happened? This is why you have to be careful about. You see, the day God wants you to make up your mind. You know, by the time I met him, he was so sick. He was running back and forth to the bathroom. He couldn't get what I had to give because he was so sick. But you know something? I don't fault that parent. If you have a loved one, somebody that you care for who is dying, don't you want them to have Jesus? Amen. So I know that God put that together so it was an opportunity for that young man to have Jesus. And that was all right with me. The priests were there around the cross. The rabbis were there. The soldiers were there. There were people all around the cross. All of them had the gospel. All of them were looking at Jesus. But it was the thief who accepted him. Folk, it is time. It's been long ago time for us to stop playing. We know Jesus is coming real soon. He's trying to save some of us. And today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week. When you encounter Jesus, accept him. You know, we're not going to have any excuse. That thief on the cross, you know what that story does? It takes away all of our excuses. You know why I called it an extraordinary action of firm faith? It's one thing to accept Jesus and everything is going well and smooth. But can you accept Jesus when you are dying and you have nothing? Your life has been a mess and accept him then? That's firm. That's a faith. That's the kind of faith that the thief on the cross had. So we're not going to have an excuse one day. And so it would only be fitting that I would end this with a call to discipleship. Now, you don't have to raise your hand if you're already a Christian, you've already made your decision for Christ. But if you haven't, today is the day. You're encountering the cross of Jesus. I find it strange. A dying man looks to the dying one right next to him. Jesus was probably looking worse than he did, but he could see through that. There is some evidence that the both thieves had seen Jesus come through the scourging and all the things that happened. And by observing his mannerisms, something happened. You've been coming week after week. Jesus has been talking to you. Now is the time. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I want you to be praying. Now, this is usually a tense-filled moment, especially if you haven't given your heart to Jesus. It can be scary, and it can be very difficult. But I'm telling you, it's the right thing to do. You see, the thief inherited, became an heir of the place of paradise. Jesus says, I'll remember you in paradise. It's the only place in the scripture where Jesus used the word paradise. And it was in reference to this thief. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if there's a man, woman, a boy, a girl that's in here today that has not given their heart to Jesus. Now, I think I know most of you here, probably most of you already Christians. But if you haven't, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to give your heart to Jesus. Somebody raised their hand in the first service saying they gave their heart to Jesus. And I don't think God's not any less in this service. Is there anyone like that? If you've not given your heart to Jesus, you want to say that yes to him, I want you to raise your hand. Don't raise your hand if you've done it. Please don't. Raise your hand only if it's real and you want to give your heart to Him. Is anyone fit that? Raise your hand if you fit that. You fall into that category. Is there anyone? Is there anyone that fits that? Thank you. I see your hand. God bless you for your courage. You can put your hand down. Thank you. You know how courageous that is. I want to thank you for raising your hand for Jesus. That takes courage. That takes courage. Don't think that what happened here was just God was using God the Holy Spirit to cause you to raise your hand. What you need to do is follow through on that. You can come and see me. You can come and join my Sabbath school class. We can teach you more about Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. What a great God you are. We love you. We praise you for who you are. God, you are willing to reach us anywhere. But Lord, we have a choice to make. And we choose you. Thank you for the courageous person that raised their hand to choose you today, the person in the first service and the person here today. Lord, seal their testimony. Keep them and encourage them. And Lord, in all of this, we'll be careful to praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.